Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa lah. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're continuing with our series on tafsir surah mursalat. And we finished off with Allah ta'ala mentioning these different conditions, shurut, you could say, fa'idha. Wa idha, and when these things happen, describing judgment day, starting off with wa innama tu'adun al-waqi', indeed what your promise is going to occur. So when the stars are obliterated, when the heavens are going to be opened up, and when the mountains are blown away, and when the messengers, their time has come and they're all gathered together, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa idha ar-rusulu uqitat, then we come to the ayah in which Allah ta'ala says, li ayyi yawmin ujjilat, switching now to a question, for what day was it postponed? So this is really interesting, because there are two possibilities. The first possibility is that this ayah is jawab al-shart. It is answering, you know, when you say, when this, and when this, and when this, what? Something's going to happen, right? You're wondering what the answer is. So it could be that it is jawab al-shart. It is an answer to the statement, when X, Y, Z happens, when all this takes place, then? And then the question is, well, it just listed all these events, but it's not actually answering the question. And perhaps it's because as Allah Ta'ala is listing these events, the disbeliever is wondering, why is it postponed? Why do we have to wait when this happens, when this happens, when this happens? Why this list of things? Why doesn't it just happen right now? And this is exactly what the disbelievers were taunting the Prophet ﷺ with. They kept on taunting the Prophet ﷺ. And yeah, okay, you say the mountains are gonna this, and the stars are gonna that, and the skies, why? Like, they're not even listening. And so subhanAllah, you see here, that instead of Allah Ta'ala continuously describing judgment day and them only half listening, rather, Allah Ta'ala demonstrates that He knows human nature, and so He quotes them directly. And this is in fact called maqulul qawl. Maqulul qawl is when something is quoted from somebody else without the statement yaquluna al-kafirun. The disbelievers say, and then Allah quotes it. Without even saying yaquluna al-kafirun, the disbelievers say this, Allah Ta'ala just quotes them. لِأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجِّلَتْ. Yeah, okay, I hear all these descriptions, but why is this being postponed? So it could be in this regard, you know, you could say it's a type of answer. However, the second possibility is that this ayah is not jawab al-shart, it's not actually answering the question. Rather, it's continually building up the suspense about that day. When this happens, when this happens, when that happens. And then the question is, and what's postponing it to even further continue building up the suspense? Why? To make you realize that you don't know what's postponing it. That's exactly the point of this question. لِأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجِّلَتْ. Why is it being postponed? Yeah, that's a good question. Why is it being postponed? You know what? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's going to happen now. Maybe it's going to happen in 5 minutes. Maybe I only have another 10 minutes left. Maybe I have another day, another week, another month, another year. I don't know how much more time I have left. It's to make you realize that you don't know what's postponing it, and it could occur any minute now. And if that is the case, then the question obviously comes, what is jawab al-shart? When all of this happens, what's the answer to this question? And the answer is, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, ayah number 15. It could be that the answer is Allah saying, when this happens and when this happens, on that time, what am I telling you? I'm saying, woe to those who have denied. That's when all this happens, woe to them. So that's the jawab al-shart, and Allah knows best. These are two opinions. This verse is teaching us an important lesson about how to debate. You're supposed to predict your interlocutor's objection before they make the objection, right? As you're making your points and the person's thinking, oh yeah, I already have, you know, one in the chamber. I already know what I'm gonna say in response to this. I know how I'm gonna respond to this person. You say, and by the way, if you're wondering this, here's my answer. So you should always, you know, think about what the person may be thinking about or objecting to momentarily. Allah Ta'ala is demonstrating this in this ayah. And also, quoting the disbeliever's objection could be seen as a form of belittling the question, because they're wondering and they're asking the question, why is this being postponed? When is it postponed to? And Allah Ta'ala, you could see here, is, you could say, somewhat calling them out and saying, look at how backward your thinking is. You're asking about when this will happen, but what difference does that make? The messengers came with a timeless message. Timeless truths, as in the facts that remain true regardless of when you're living, right? Kind of the same way, you know, mathematical truths are true whenever. It doesn't matter what time. You go 1,000 years in the past or 1,000 years in the future, 2 + 2 is still 4. And in that same way, right is still right and wrong is still wrong. There are certain basic truths, certain basic principles that are always going to be the case, right? Oppression is evil. You know, being honest is a good thing, being charitable is a good thing, and so on and so forth. So these are timeless truths that the messengers came with. You ignored those timeless truths, and instead, you consider this dunya as the bedrock of your stability. But this whole dunya as the bedrock of your stability is now under question. the stars and the sky and the mountains are all going to crumble. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying. Allah Ta'ala is listing that all these things, what you consider to be so stable, is all going to fall apart. Yet the message of those messengers is going to remain stable. It's going to persist forever. And when you look at it from that perspective, it makes a lot of sense why Allah Ta'ala took what we consider to be stable, فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ طُمِسَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُصِفَتْ, you know, talking about the stars, the sky, and the mountains, all this, what this universe is composed of, all of that which you think is stable is going to be taken away. And then وَإِذَا الرُّسُلُ أُقِّتَتْ, when the messengers are joined together, that which you thought was fleeting, now this is what's going to be established, because they were bringing what? It's not about the person. It's about the timeless truth that they were bringing, and you are asking the wrong question. You should be thinking about, forget about what's happening in the future or the past or any other time. What is always true? That's what matters. And what is always true is the truth of these messengers. So you're asking, لِأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجِّلَتْ? It's the wrong question to begin with. So this verse should make us pause and ask ourselves a very important question. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving me time to live my life? Why am I given another day? My life could have been taken yesterday, the day before. Why was I given this extra day? And so on and so forth. Why have I been given all this time and opportunity? What can I accomplish with the time that I have on earth? This is exactly what's being highlighted. لِأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجِّلَتْ? How much more do you have? You don't know. That's the point. And with more time, interestingly enough, people make more decisions. Obviously, the more days you have, you make more decisions between right and wrong, which distinguishes you more and more. Right? Every day that you have, you might, if you keep taking steps towards right, whereas your neighbor keeps taking steps towards wrong, given more time, you separate more and more, splitting them more, which flows perfectly into the next ayah, لِيَوْمٍ فَصْل. لِيَوْمٍ فَصْل, I should say. لِيَوْمٍ فَصْل. For the day of فَصْل, which فَصْل can mean distinction, separation. And this is exactly answering the question. It's a day of distinction and separation. It's being postponed until that day. Qatada has an interesting comment, rahimahullah. He says, يَوْمٍ يَفْصِلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِلَى النَّارِ. The day that Allah Ta'ala separates between people based on their actions, sending them either to heaven or to hell. So therefore, the future date matters a lot less than the category you're going to be in based on your deeds which you're doing right now. That's a really interesting, the way Allah Ta'ala is describing it is very interesting. Allah Ta'ala is calling out their question. I know you're thinking about when's it going to come. Tell me the date. لِأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجِّلَتْ. I know that's what you're thinking right now, so I'm going to call it out before you even have a chance to say it. And then Allah Ta'ala says, you want to know what time it's going to come? The day of distinction. The day that's going to draw separation and distinction between what? Between what you and your neighbor and your friend and your brother and your sister, between all the things that you guys are doing when? In the future? No, now. So let's bring it back to now. لِيَوْمِ الْفَصْلِ. You are going to be distinguished as to your actions now. This is, subhanAllah, really powerful because their mind is going in the wrong direction. It's as if Allah Ta'ala is grabbing them and pulling them back to the present moment, exactly where it's supposed to be. There are several ayat in the Quran in which Allah Ta'ala speaks about people who are discerning. Fatin is usually the term that is used. Fatin meaning a person of discernment. Allah Ta'ala says, in fact, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُتَوَسِّمِينَ. Indeed, in that are signs, as in this Qur'an, there are signs for people of discernment. This whole Qur'an is for people who are discerning. This entire deen is for people of, يعني المتوسمين, for the people of discernment. So that, first and foremost, you want to be a discerning individual. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says that charity, للفقراء الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف تعرفهم بسيماهم لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. Allah Ta'ala says, charity is for the poor who have been restricted for the cause of Allah, unable to move about in the land. An ignorant person would think of them as self-sufficient because of their restraint. So you're supposed to be charitable towards who? People who are not asking. But you will know them by their signs. They do not ask people persistently. So this is a very, very interesting ayah in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 273. Allah Ta'ala is saying, listen, charity is for what type of people? People who, they are in need, and yet their dignity gives them ta'affuf. That they apply self-restraint because they're too dignified to go around begging people. I mean, we all know that a dignified person doesn't beg. Now, are you supposed to let that person get pushed until the point that they do beg? No, of course not. You're supposed to be discerning enough to notice that this person is in need. Now, Allah Ta'ala is saying that if you are not discerning enough to notice when a person is hurting, if you can't pay attention and see that this guy drove up with a car that's busted day after day, and he can't get it fixed. This person looks a little hungry, and yet I don't pay attention. This person looks depressed or sad, in need, stressed. And I don't, I got a rush. They're always in a rush. Why is this guy in a rush? If you are not discerning enough to actually ask and say, hey man, are you all right? Do you need some help? Is everything okay? Then Allah Ta'ala is describing that person as what? يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ. Then you're jahil. You're an ignorant person. أعوذ بالله. So the believer is not supposed to be jahil. The believer is supposed to be somebody who is not ignorant, but rather is discerning. He's supposed to understand and apply Quran, and furthermore, supposed to pay attention to human beings and notice who's in need, how can I help? Furthermore, discerning people pay attention to people that are giving them attitude. Allah Ta'ala describes the munafiqun, the hypocrites. When Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكَهُمْ فَلَعَرَفْتَهُمْ بِسِمَاهُمْ وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. And if we had willed, we could have shown them to you, and you would have known them by their marks. If Allah Ta'ala wanted, Allah Ta'ala could have taken all the people who claim that they're Muslim and said, okay, you guys remain Muslim, no problem. Now as for those who are faking it, those who are hypocrites, let's put a nice sign on their forehead that says munafiq. Allah's saying, I could have done that. I could have put a mark on them so you could have seen. These are the munafiqun. These are the hypocrites. But Allah says, but you will surely know them by the tone of their speech. You will surely know them by what? By the tone in their speech. SubhanAllah, it's a pretty intense ayah. Allah Ta'ala is saying, pay attention to the attitude people give, the condescending tone, the rudeness, the harshness, etc., and so on and so forth. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us from having qualities of nifaq. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. There are many ahadith in which the Prophet describes those people who are fateen. In fact, there's a specific hadith. I'm not going to go into the whole detail, but it's a hadith in which a man came to the Prophet and the Prophet told him, pray two rak'ah, and the guy does it. And then another day he shows up and he says, pray two rak'ah. He does. And then one day he says, you know, we should give charity. And then the Prophet gives him garments and clothes. And he was telling the Sahaba, give charity, give charity. But they weren't catching what he was saying. And then finally the Prophet got a little bit more explicit and said, what? أَلَمْ تَرَوْا إِلَىٰ هَذَا إِنَّهُ دَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدَ بِهَيْئَةٍ بَذَّةٍ فَرَجَوْتُ أَن تَفْتُنُوا لَهُ فَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَيْهِ. That he was saying, have you not seen this man? He entered the masjid scruffy with scruffy clothes, and I hope that you would take notice. I hope you would be discerning and pay attention and actually see what was happening and give charity to him. I gave him some charity. I gave him some clothes. I was saying, people, be charitable. People, be charitable. I was trying to give the example and make this guy distinct and, you know, kind of make you guys catch, but you didn't do so. And so anyway, the Prophet was, you know, calling him out, saying, come on, things don't have to be spelled out for you. If you see somebody struggling, like, look, other people are trying to help this guy out. He's in a bad spot. Come on, man, do it yourself, you know? And so the Prophet was encouraging people to pay attention. Ahmed ibn Asim al-Antaqi, rahimahullah, is a scholar who said what? إِذَا جَالَسْتُمْ أَهْلَ الصِّدْقِ فَجَالِسُوهُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ فَإِنَّهُمْ جَوَاسِيسُ الْقُلُوبِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهَا مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. If you sit with people of truth, then interact with them truthfully. Make sure that if you sit with people of truth, you interact with them truthfully, because they're like heart spies, spies of the heart. It's like they can, you know, they're like professionals. They're going to get into your heart. They can get into your heart and come out with things that you never expect. I just find the term Jawasisul Qulub is a really funny term. Anyway, you know, spies of the heart. What does that mean? So here, this one scholar, he's saying, listen, you have to be, you know, careful with people that are people of knowledge and people of honesty. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala may bless them with discernment. And that discernment may be such that they'll be able to catch things that you would never believe, that you would never expect. They'll notice things about you. So pay attention. In fact, Ibn al-Qayyim goes further and says what? Al-firasatu al-imaniyatu sababuha nurun yaqdifuhu Allahu fi qalbi abdihi يفرق به بين الحق والباطل والصادق والكاذب وهذه الفراسة على حسب قوة الإيمان وكان أبو بكر الصديق أعظم الأمة فراسة. He said, faith-based insight. Faith-based insight. Insight, فراسة, that comes from إيمان. الفراسة الإيمانية. What is this faith-based إيمان? It is a light that Allah has placed in the heart of a servant through which he differentiates truth from falsehood and the truthful person from the liar. And this insight is relative to one's strength of faith. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu had the most insight of his ummah. Why? Because he had the most faith. So the more iman that you have, the more Allah Ta'ala gives you this firasa, this ability to notice things and distinguish between right and wrong and, you know, catch these details about human beings and human nature. Wallahu Ta'ala a'lam bisawab. And then it's also very interesting that this word fasl, it shows up 9 times in the Quran, 6 of which are describing Judgment Day. Six times Allah Ta'ala used this word, Yawm al-Fasl, talking about this Fasl, in terms of Judgment Day. Three times in this surah, that's the most of any other surah. No other surah has this word Fasl as so often. Yawm al-Fasl, wa ma adraka ma yawm al-Fasl. And also later on in ayah number 38, Allah Ta'ala mentions Yawm al-Fasl, the day of discernment. So subhanAllah, this surah is really, really emphasizing this concept of Yawm al-Fasl, the day of distinguishment, distinction, or yes, decisiveness. And the only other times you find, because like I said, it's this word Fasl is mentioned nine times, six of those times are talking about Judgment Day. The other three times, it's talking about Fasl al-Khitab, the speech of Dawood alayhi salam, which had eloquent, clear speech. Another time, Allah Ta'ala describes what? His judgment, that yes, I could have sent these evildoers to hell, but I gave them a decisive statement, a decisive judgment, this decisive statement that I'm going to give them time until their own deaths. Like I've already appointed when they'll die, and until then they have freedom to act as they will. If they want to keep doing more evil, I've given them that time because of my decisive judgment. And the last time Allah Ta'ala mentions it is what? In Surah Tariq, when Allah Ta'ala describes that this Qur'an is fasl. That this Qur'an is a decisive statement. Fasl al-qawl. That this is a decisive قول فصل, that is a decisive statement, subhanAllah. So that's the way this word is used in the Qur'an. Then Allah asks, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ. And what can make you possibly understand what is this day of judgment? How can I understand Judgment Day? And so one thing, the fact that Allah is asking this is implying that you can't know. But you can be a winner on that day. How? By being distinct yourself. By making sure that you stand out. You stand out in the best way that you can, by being close to Allah Ta'ala. Now the question is, why is this day so difficult to comprehend? One reason is because you'll be paired with people who you are like in this life. And here's the crazy part, here's the difficult part for us to understand. When the generous people are gathered together, you'll see the rich man who gave millions of dollars with the poor man who gave a few dollars, because both were giving relative to what they had. That's why it's so bizarre. Yawm al-Fasl, wa ma adraka ma yawm al-Fasl. How can you possibly understand? It's going to be so mind-boggling to you. This guy gave millions. This guy gave so little. Yeah, but it was relative, based on how much iman they gave it with, how sincere they gave it, and so forth, and based on how much they had. When the tyrannical people are gathered together, you're going to see an abusive father with an abusive dictator, right? Fir'aun is going to be with some father who used to beat up on his kids. You're thinking, oh my goodness, these two are together? Fir'aun, I used to read about him in the Quran. This guy was my neighbor. How did I read about this guy? How is it that these two are together? Because they were acting out their tyranny based on the power that they had. One had a lot of power, one had a little bit of power. But the same disease of the heart was the same. Therefore, beware of who you'll be gathered with, and always remember that you should expect more from yourself as you gain more. The more you have, the more you should expect from yourself. The Prophet says what? There's a lengthy hadith, I'm not going to go through all of it. But Allah mentions what? يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لِمِيقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ قِيَامًا أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً شَاخِصَةً أَبَصَارُهُمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَنْتَظِرُونَ فَصْلَ الْقَضَاءِ. Allah will gather the first people and the last people, as in all people on Judgment Day, for an appointment of a known day, يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ, a day that is absolutely well known, standing for 40 years with their eyes staring up in horror at the sky, just waiting. Waiting for what? For fasl al-qada, for the decisive verdict. Imagine 40 years standing and waiting, not knowing what's going to happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is a hadith that's mentioned by Tabarani, Ad-Darqutni, by Al-Hakim, and considered sahih by Al-Albani as well. In other words, Allah Ta'ala, when Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ, what will make you possibly understand what is this day? Allah Ta'ala is, in another way you could say, is saying what? You human beings have never experienced a time where people are properly categorized. This is Yawm al-Fasl, the day that people are going to be properly categorized. You try to categorize competent versus incompetent in school. We try that, right? We try to, you know, rank people as competent or incompetent by giving them grades. But you don't do it perfectly. You try to categorize people in terms of innocent versus guilty in court. You try to reward people as useful versus useless at work by paying people some more wages and other people less wages. You try to determine friend versus foe in your social life. You try to determine sincere versus hypocrite in the masjid. You try to determine compatible versus incompatible when you get married. You try to determine leader versus follower during your election season, right? Always trying to vote for the right person, so on and so forth. And all of your systems fail. And all of your systems fail. We never get everything perfectly right because we're not perfectly good at distinguishing people. You've never accomplished correct distinction of people in this world, so how can you possibly understand the day of distinction? How are you going to understand what it looks like? The answer is you can't. Hence why Allah Ta'ala says, يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ. You guys never got this right. You never really figured out how to distinguish people, but on that day, you'll finally see it. And then this final ayah that I'll mention for today is what? وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe. Wail means like woe. We don't use that term so much in modern language, but it's an old English term. Woe, like destruction, like be careful, like watch out. Woe to those who, you know, say this or do that. Woe to those who, you know, object or, you know, criticize or attack or whatever the case is. You know, watch out, be careful. Warning sign, right? So that's kind of what this word wail means. Woe, wailun, yawma'idhin, on that day, lil mukathibin, for the deniers. Deniers of what? So this statement of wailun yawma'idhin lil mukathibin is mentioned 10 times in the surah. There are 50 ayat in the surah. 10 times you have this repeated the statement, wailun yawma'idhin lil mukathibin. This is the first of the 10. And it's specifically based on the context, denial of judgment day. Woe to those who deny judgment day. And we should obviously look into it. And there are people that have done research on this, if I'm not mistaken. You guys can check this stuff up online. But people who don't believe in a judgment day, naturally, they fear consequences a lot less. This is so common sense and obvious. But if you don't believe that you're being watched, if you don't believe that you're being judged, if you don't believe in any sort of, maybe as the Hindus would say, a karmic system, you know, karma, the idea that you get back what's coming to you, right? That there is some sort of justice in this universe. If you don't believe in that, then obviously you're much more likely to transgress boundaries, to not be charitable, to not care about others, to cut corners, and so on and so forth, because you're like, well, if I'm not gonna get caught, then who cares? What difference does it make? It's all gonna go away, it's all a wash anyway. When we all die, we all turn to dust, it won't make a difference anyhow. So this is the first time Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe to those who deny. Deny what? Clearly, context being judgment day, resurrection. Denying resurrection implies denial of accountability. Just like a criminal who doesn't believe in hidden cameras, such a false belief will encourage him to steal because he thinks he'll get away with it, obviously, right? So, you know, it's like, oh, I don't believe I'm being watched. Yeah, well, that's the whole point. That's why they're hidden. That's why they're called hidden cameras, because they're hidden. Nu'man ibn Bashir and Malik ibn Dinar, they both reported, Al-waylu wadin fi jahannam fihi alwanul adhab. Wail is the name of a valley in hellfire with various colors or different kinds of punishment. So this is one description. There's another hadith in which the Prophet says, but this is a weak hadith, so I have to warn everybody. There's nothing wrong with mentioning a hadith that are weak, because they could possibly be true, but you always have to mention that there's weakness to it. So it might be true, might not. So, wallahu alam, but this hadith says what? Al-waylu wadin fi jahannam, same statement at the beginning, that wail, al-wail, is a valley in jahannam. Yahwi fihi al-kafir arba'ina kharifan qabla an yablugha qa'rahu. That wail is a valley in jahannam, the disbeliever shall drop in it 40 autumns. You know, autumn comes every year. So the Arabs had the expression 40 autumns, meaning 40 years, right? It's just a way of saying it in Arabic. 40, it's like saying 40 summers or 40 autumns or 40 springs. It doesn't matter which season you pick. The point is that, well, actually it's talking about fall. So maybe there's a coincidence there, fall, right? Anyway, so it mentions what? The disbeliever shall drop into 40 autumns or 40 years before he reaches the bottom. So subhanAllah, this is talking about a very deep pit or valley in hellfire, may Allah protect us. Now, linguistically, wail is commented on, it's described as a masdar, which is like the infinitive. But, يعني إنها مصدر لا فعل له من لفظه معناه الهلاك الشديد. The word wail is a masdar, is an infinitive without a verb. You'd expect that the verb would be something like وَالَ يَوِيلُ وَيْلٌ فَهُوَ وَائِلٌ, something like this, right? But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't have a verb. It's just the masdar, wail, which implies what? Severe destruction. Al-halak al-shadid. Severe destruction. So severe destruction. Whoa, warning sign. Wailun yawma'idhin for the deniers. Now, it's not someone who has doubts. This is a really, really important point. I might repeat it a few times. Allah Ta'ala is not saying, woe to those who were confused about these issues. Woe to those who had insufficient information, who were ignorant. No, mukadhib, ya'ani, the guy who knows the truth and is denying it flat out. Like, I get it. I just don't care. I'm denying it. I'm lying, like knowingly. And the fact that it begins the sentence in the indefinite, يعني ويلون نكرة, it implies that it's a call. It's a dua. It's like you're calling out, whoa, you know, woe to those. So that's a really important point. ويلون, whoa, watch out, be careful. You know, caution, destruction, watch out. So it's calling people and saying, don't do this. So how is this ayah actionable? How should we apply it in our lives? When you hear somebody lie, when you hear somebody say something that is not true, you should have an immediate, almost like a gut response, where you say, whoa, hey, don't say that. Hey, that's not true. Don't lie. I know you know better. That's not true. Why are you lying? Like, it should come out automatically. Like, I think it might have been yesterday or the day before. SubhanAllah, we were eating dinner and there were some kids, one kid took his plastic fork and threw it at his sister. These young kids, right? They're very small. And I was talking to somebody looking this way, and I just saw this thing, you know, the kid's hand move like that, and I just, you know, saw this thing flying. And you have whenever you see a child in trouble, I'm sure we all have the same reaction, right? So, whoa, hey, whoa! You know, you're just, you're immediately like, whoa, watch out, right? So we all do this, right? If you see a kid walking towards something dangerous, about to fall, or whatever the case is, you just jump, you scream, you yell, you do something, right? So in that same way, Allah Ta'ala says, waylun yawma idhil mukathibi, whoa, watch out, destruction, danger, caution, for those who lie. How unfortunate is it that oftentimes we have friends, we have family, we hear them say something that's not true, and what? We maybe laugh it off, we think it's funny. So, oh, I get it, yeah, it's funny. We know that the guy's telling the truth, maybe we wink at the guy. We don't have this guttural, visceral, natural reaction. That in and of itself is a problem. Final point, inshallah, I know I went long, I apologize, but the final point that I want to make is that each of these ayat building up, the four ayat, ayah number 8, 9, 10, and 11, since this could be the jawab shart, since this could be the response to it, you could say that each of these have this sentence after it. What do I mean? So let me be clear. فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ طُمِسَتْ. When the stars are obliterated, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe to the deniers. وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ. And when the sky is ripped open, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe to the deniers. So in each of these instances, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُصِفَتْ. And when the mountains are like pulverized, atomized, blown away, completely run down. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe to the deniers, those who denied this day and denied the truth. وَإِذَا الرُّسُلُ أُقِّتَتْ. And when the messengers are brought together on that day, where finally they're going to have their moment, they're going to have their day in court, they're going to be able to speak the truth and get a just trial. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So when, this is جَوَابَ الشَّرْطِ, this is the answer to the statement. It could be that each one of these is saying, woe to the liar, woe to the denier. So may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are not liars, who are not deniers, and who simply speak the truth, which is the easiest thing to do. You know, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala made it so that our human bodies, our pupils dilate, our blood pressure goes up, our faces go red. And there are professionals that actually study when a person lies. They can read on you that your body's having this negative reaction, almost like an allergic reaction is going off, because our bodies are not designed to lie. Subhanallah. And the easiest thing is to speak the truth. If I like Brother Ahmed's shirt, I say, mashallah, that's a nice shirt. Saw it didn't hurt at all. Didn't hurt. Easy. I don't have, my blood pressure's not, you know, going up, right? My eyes aren't dilating, you know, my face isn't going red, right? I'm not having this negative response because Allah Ta'ala designed us to speak the truth. So just don't lie. May Allah Ta'ala make us of the truthful. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.